Philippians chapter 3. Open your Bibles there if you would. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord. It is good, Father God, to be in your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet, sweet, sweet presence, Lord. We don't take it for granted. We thank you for the life that's in your presence, Lord. We thank you for the love that's in your presence. But this morning, Lord, this word, as it goes forth, God, it's got to get in us, Lord. It's got to change us. And so I pray for the anointing, Lord, because it's the anointing, Father God, that empowers this word as it goes forth into our lives. Father, anoint us to hear it. Father, anoint me to speak. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, folks, being back in New Mexico this past week, I was reminded of a lot of things that I had did whenever I was in high school, a lot of places that I went because I was back in my stomping ground. One of the things that I did was I took a little cruise around the school. And, you know, it's pretty much the same as I left it there. All the graffiti that I put on the wall still there. I'm just kidding. I never did that. I don't think. Anyway, I don't remember. I looked at the mountains and the various things that's around where my folks live at, and I can remember a lot of stories. You know, some of you probably aren't as familiar with this as I am, but growing up in central New Mexico, one of the things that you have to deal with there is you have to deal with a lot of dirt roads, a lot of dirt roads, very little gravel roads, just a lot of dirt. And one of the things that happens is whenever it rains, once about every 10 years, those dirt roads get muddy. And whenever they get muddy and people travel down them, they get ruts in the middle of the road. Anybody familiar with what I'm saying? And so what happens over a period of time is the ruts get so deep that you can't travel in them anymore, because if you travel in them, you'll get what they call high-centered. Anybody ever been high-centered? I've done that. Oh, my goodness. Every once in a while, I'd be going down that road, and all of a sudden, you could see where somebody else veered away from these deep ruts, and they started a whole new set of ruts right next to the old ruts. Now, here's the trick. You don't want to fall off in them old ruts. One day in particular, I can remember going down, and it was a little bit muddy, a little bit squishy outside, and I was doing real good staying out of the old ruts in the new ruts, and all of a sudden, I hit a slick spot, right back down into those old ruts, and I was high, so I couldn't move. But you all know, where there's a will, there's a way. I jumped out, got my high lift jack, and I started jacking my pickup up. In a few minutes, I was on my way again. A few minutes later, I was back in those ruts. I think about 4 or 5 times that day, I jacked myself out of those ruts. This morning, I'm going to talk about something that I believe that every person in this room has in common with every other person in this room. And it's this thing called our past. Whenever I was in New Mexico, one of the things that I was reminded of is a whole lot of places and things that I had done. I had been some things not so good, some things okay. But you have to understand, whenever I was growing up there, I was a heathen. And I will be honest with you, I was a very good heathen. I did it well. But this morning, I believe that each of us in this room, having in common with everyone else our past, this morning what I want to talk about is how to get over our past. Because sometimes we as individuals can carry the things of the past with us day after day after day after day. And sometimes carrying those things from our past, that doesn't make a whole lot of difference one way or the other. But I have to tell you, most often whenever we carry the things of the past, we're carrying things that are hurts, things that are defeats, things that are mistakes. Are y'all there with me? And many times those things become a controlling factor in what we're doing today. In other words, our past is something that we become high-centered on. We just can't get past it. We just keep falling off in the same rut over and over again, and we just can't get over it. And so this morning in chapter 3 of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, now you got to understand, the Apostle Paul was a brainiac. Are y'all there with me? I mean, this guy is smart beyond smart. He'd have 2 or 3 doctorates today if he lived in modern-day society, but Paul was a smart, smart guy. But yet I believe that in the text that we're fixing to read, you can see how simplistic he makes things. He boils things down to the lowest common denominator. So let's read this. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12 is where I want to begin reading. He says, not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Now let's stop there. The Apostle Paul is saying, man, all of this stuff, all of these things I know, all of this life I've lived, he says, guys, it kind of boils down to this one thing with me. Okay? This one thing I do. He says, I get it. This is one of those things I get. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Folks, we are all living in an age where everybody is looking to their past to explain their problems. Sometimes they look to their past not only to explain their problems, but they also look to their past to excuse their behavior. Come on. But we don't do that. Yes? I mean, folks, we've made a science of digging up our past so that we can understand ourselves better. But I have to tell you, only Jesus Christ can heal the past. Only Jesus can heal the past. You can be in counseling until your head comes off, and it's not going to help you any. Jesus is the only one that can take a hold of our past and heal us from those hurts. He can heal us from those situations that we went to. See, Jesus' task with all of us is to get us from the past to living for today. Come on. The world is out there and they're emphasizing looking backwards. Oh, you got to look backwards. You got to see what's behind you if you want to go forward. You got to learn. You got to know all the stuff in your past. And some of these things, man, they hypnotize you so as that you can speak out your past from years gone by. Folks, I got to tell you something. Most of my past, I want to forget about it. Come on, I don't want to dig it up day after day after day. The world's out there and they're saying, man, look backwards, look backwards. But Christ is out there saying just the opposite. He says, no, you need to look forward. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creations. And this is the great thing about that scripture. It says, old things, notice that, old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. You see, Jesus is saying, man, look at the future, look at the future, look at the future, not the past. He says, old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Jesus is the only one that can do this. You realize that? No doctor, no psychiatrist, no amount of medication that you might be on can take care of what Jesus can do in a moment. So now, this morning, I'm talking about forgetting the past. The Apostle Paul says this one thing, this one thing, forgetting what is behind. He's saying to us, forget your past. But I don't know about y'all. Now, I'm just checking. Is there anybody besides me in this room that finds it a little bit difficult sometimes to forget about your past? Amen? So what does it mean? How does someone go about forgetting the past? It is hard, literally, to forget your past. But this is the thing that the Apostle Paul is talking about. You can learn from your past, and then you can move on. The term forget the Apostle Paul uses here is a word from the Greek that basically means this. It means not to regard your past. Not to allow your past to have any kind of bearing, any kind of influence on your present spiritual outlook. Are y'all there? Don't allow your past to have any bearing on you. Don't allow your past to influence you as you walk in Jesus Christ day by day. This is the meaning of that Greek word, forget. Don't let it have any bearing. Don't let it have any influence. Don't regard your past. It's not an issue of your memory function because, folks, this is the sad fact of it. We're probably never going to forget it. Y'all there? I mean, I can remember driving by places and seeing things, and it sparked memories in my mind that I had seriously not remembered for the past 20-some-odd years, 30-some-odd years. It's not about the memory functions of the brain. It's an issue of the motivation to go beyond our history and not to get stuck in it. See, that's what too many of us do. We get high-centered. God's Spirit gives us the strength. God's Spirit gives us the power to move on, no matter what kind of failures that there might be in our past. You see, it's God's love that brings healing for these past pains that we might have in our lives. Man, I'm just so glad that through the love of God, that He grants us forgiveness. He just gives it to us. He gives us forgiveness for all of the past sins. Forgiveness to me means that we are allowed emotionally to have freedom. Man, it is so good to be free from your past. Because see, fact of the matter is, there's too many of us today that still allow our past to have some type of bearing on our today. Some type of bearing on our future. It's nice to be free. To where your past, it just has no bearing. It has no influence because of the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers to us through His love. Let me say this. Healthy people learn to move on. They learn from their past, and then they press forward. Yep, it's my past. I can't. Oh my goodness, how many of you have you had the opportunity, as I would, if you could go back and do it over again and do it a little bit differently, you might do that? Yes, I would. So many things that I would probably change in my past. But folks, the fact of the matter is, none of us have the ability to do that. Not one of us can change one thing that is in our past. However, we can change a whole lot of things that lie in our future. Amen? And so thus, we don't need to allow our past to have any kind of bearing, any kind of influence on the behavior that we might exhibit here in the next day, the next month, the next weeks. So how do you do it? Well, the Apostle Paul begins this passage that I read, and he begins telling us, he says, guys, listen, I haven't already obtained all of this. Or have already been made perfect, Bible says. And that's so often, folks, there's so many people that come to Christianity and you know, whenever they get born again, they think all of a sudden they've got to be perfect. And let me just make sure y'all understand this. There was only one person ever that was perfect, and His name was Jesus Christ. There's never been a perfect person since, nor will there ever be another perfect person. Are y'all there with me? There's never been a perfect church. All churches got problems. This church has a lot of problems. You got one standing right here behind the platform that there's a problem. I'm a problem. But you're never going to get by that. But the Apostle Paul says, guys, I haven't obtained all of this. I haven't been made perfect. But Paul is evaluating his present state of life by announcing the fact that at this present time, he still has not arrived. None of us have arrived. I don't know about y'all, but I still make mistakes from time to time. Okay? More than time to time. Often. What do you want from me? Okay? I make mistakes all the time. And I'm so glad that God does not press us for perfection and say, you got to be perfect, because there's no way we can be perfect. The Apostle Paul says, listen, guys, I haven't obtained it, but I'm still pressing forward to you. In spite of all of this, God nonetheless has told each and every one of us that we have been made justified by Jesus Christ. Now here's, guys, this is a twist, okay? Here we are, and if y'all are just a bit honest with yourselves, you know that you're not perfect, yes? Okay, and if you don't know you're not perfect, ask your spouse. Okay. And so whenever we come before the Lord, and, you know, we want to spend some time with Him, we just want to talk to Him, we just want to pray. Have you ever noticed how sometimes our minds go back to the last not perfect thing that we did? you know, today I was really cranky. Today I was, you guys fill in the blank. And so we say, I can't talk to God. I did that yesterday. I did that this morning. I did that 5 minutes ago. Now think about this. You see, the Apostle Paul says, guys, I haven't made it. I haven't got it all together. I'm still imperfect. But this is the great thing about this. We are all right in the sight of God because we have been justified by the works of Jesus Christ. See, I don't come to God because I'm anything. I come to God because Jesus is something. Are y'all there with me? And so even though we're not perfect, we can come before God. Even though we have this past that we look at and we go, oh, no, I can't believe I did all of that. Remember this. We have been justified by Jesus Christ. And he's growing us. Anybody that's been in Christianity for any length of time, you realize that God is in the business of growing us towards what he is ultimately wanting us to be. Because you understand this. He's moving us towards perfection. One of these days, you're going to meet me up in heaven, and I will have become perfect. And your jaw is going to drop. Y'all there? See, he's moving us towards that. But until we get there, it's this work called sanctification. It's this work that each and every day, Jesus moves us a little closer to where he needs us to be. Now, obviously, that's because we want him to move us there. We're trying to get there, okay? If you just sit down and say, I'm not moving anywhere, then you're not moving farther in sanctification. This is something that is a joint process between God and you. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's came a long ways from where he started at. He had this terrible past, but he's saying there's still room to grow. There's still room to go. He's overcome the past pain, but occasionally his overcoming, it still shows that he is flawed. We're all got those moments. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul, I mean, now again, we're reading something from the Apostle Paul. He's become strong. He's become this amazing man of God, but he's still at a place to where he can't boast to where he's at yet. Y'all see what I'm saying? I mean, every once in a while, is anybody like me that, you know, you're moving along and you just feel like, man, I got this thing whipped. I have been so good. And then 9 seconds later, yeah, boom. Y'all there? Yeah. Well, see, that's the Apostle Paul. He's come a long ways, but there's not room to be arrogant. There's not room to be egotistical in this because we are all in the same boat. His point is that no matter where you're at in this process, the formula is this. You got to keep going forward. You got to keep going forward. That's why he said, I press on. I press on. I press on. The Greek word here is taken from a word that was used to describe hunters, or a word that was described to use for athletic competition. So this I press on, it means to chase or to capture. Okay, so now in the context of somebody that's hunting, it would be somebody saying, I press on. And they're hunting a game, so they're going to press on until they finally achieve that moment where they capture their game. And in the same way, in the context of an athlete, it's an athlete that's running a marathon, and they're running around the track. They're moving one lap at a time, and they're pressing towards that goal. That goal is that tape that's strung out across the alleyway. That tape, to as they cross it, they rip it, and they tear away that tape. It's the checkered flag of a NASCAR. Okay. They're pressing on. They're pressing on. And that's what you and I've got to do. We've got to press on. This process is, we just got to keep doing it. Every day, the word means to chase it. The word means to capture it. And that's what we've got to do. Folks, I press on because this is where I'm at with my own life. I want to be better tomorrow than I have been today. Come on. I want to be better next week than I was this week. I keep pressing on. And if we're going to press on, if we're going to be able to move forward, then we've got to do something about that pesky past. Because you know what that pesky past does? That's a tongue twister. It will impede our progress. See, what happens is we just get to rocking and rolling. We just keep going forward. I can remember so often whenever I was first in the ministry, because you have to understand, I was a heathen. I was a heathen, and I told you a moment ago, I was a good heathen. There would be times whenever I would be on the platform, I'd be ministering, and the enemy of my soul would bring it up to me. He says, how can you do this whenever you have done that? Come on. And I'd go, oh my God. Goodness, you are exactly right. How could I be doing this whenever I have done that? Y'all there? You see, what happens if you're going to press on, if you're going to be somebody that goes on towards that prize, you got to do something about your pesky past, because it will come up over and over and over again. It will come up and it will have influence on your future. It will have bearing on your future. I mean, for heaven's sake, it's like this. Somebody told that they were not smart as they were growing up. Okay, let me say it the way it's usually said. You're stupid. You're stupid. You'll never achieve anything. You'll never achieve anything. You're dumb. You're just a flunky. Drop out. I met a man not very long ago that was his past. He was in athletics all the way through high school. He excelled. He was very, very, very good at it. But everybody told him he was stupid. Couldn't learn. Teachers constantly couldn't learn. And then he decided to be a missionary. And he needed to go to Bible college. And guess what? Whenever you flunked out in high school, it's really hard to make straight A's in college. In fact, his confession was that he could not read whenever he graduated from high school. And see, if he would have listened to his past, if he would have listened to the voices from his past, he would have never progressed. But thank God he prayed about it. Thank God he was ready to put his past behind him and to press towards the mark. And he graduated with honors from college, because God helped him. And he found out he wasn't dumb. He just had to learn a different way. Amen? To get this message across, we oftentimes what we do is we you understand, there's a cost to our present and there is a cost to our future whenever we dwell on the past. Y'all there with me? There's a cost. There's a price to be paid. Many times what our past does to us is it paralyzes our walk with God. As a moment ago, I described, you know, whenever you've done these things and you shouldn't have done them and you realize you shouldn't have done them. Many times, you know, you move into Christianity, but yet you got these things in your closet and your pesky past. Sometimes whenever you go before the Lord, it's just so hard to talk to Him open and freely. Are y'all there with me? And what it does is it paralyzes this walk that we want with God, because our past just keeps coming across. We got to press on. There is no going back. And so let me just ask a question. Why do we waste so much time trying to undo what can't be undone? Press on. Press forward. The only thing to do with past failures is to ask God to forgive you and accept that forgiveness, and then you got to move on. Press on. the Apostle Paul, one of the things that you see in his writings is he told us that he needed more progress. He said, I haven't attained this yet. He says, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of this yet. So he's telling us, I need more progress. I need to press on even further. Let me tell you about some things that is so vital to the life and times of any Christian. It's to see somebody that's gone before you and they've made it. Are y'all there with me? I mean, if you got a bad temper, man, I'm telling you, it is good to sit down with somebody who used to have a bad temper, but God took them through it. Are y'all there with me? You sit down with somebody and you've had a mess of a financial situation, and you sit down with somebody with that God has worked them through every step of the way, and now their feet are on a solid ground financially. Are y'all there with me? So God, I mean, the Apostle Paul says, he says, God has taken me through this, but I've still got a ways to go. And I can tell you, it's so good to be able to learn from the struggles the Apostle Paul had, the overcome, as he's overcome those things in his past. Paul didn't claim some kind of magic formula, some kind of magic wand. He doesn't claim that the Damascus Road experience was all, it took care of every struggle in his life. In fact, he effectively recognized here, one experience with Jesus Christ does not get it done. I mean, for heaven's sake, if the Apostle Paul didn't get it done on his Damascus Road conversion, then what about you and I that just got saved at the altar? Or, you know, got saved in the bathroom, got saved at the bedside. The Apostle Paul had light from heaven that blinded him, knocked him off his horse, and a voice spoke from him. And yet he says, man, he says, I'm still having to go on. I will tell you that as we struggle and as we move forward, as we press on to grab a hold of that prize, many times I think we think there's a magic formula or a magic wand. Hey, listen, I've sat before on the altar and just waited for God to change me. Okay, God, just go ahead and do it. Come on, God, now hit me with all you got, God. Come on, do it to me, God. I'm not telling you a joke. I've done that. I've been so frustrated with where I was at that I just wanted God to just somehow pop down, and it's done. Y'all there? But this is what I've learned over the years. I very much need to be a willing and active participant in growing up. No magic wands. No instantaneous cures. I know y'all are looking at me like, ugh. There's nothing out there that's going to be instantaneous to do this, to heal this past pain, to cure all of our evil desires. But the Apostle Paul, I think he kind of found this secret, if you would, to maturing. And he's about to share this thing with us, this thing that's helped him overcome so much of his past. It's paved the way for his growth, a growth that he's still experiencing day by day because he's being sanctified, just as you and I are being sanctified. Paul doesn't put any pressure for his growing up on put all the pressure on Jesus as he's growing up. He's not saying, Jesus, it's your job. It's your job to do this in me, although we understand that the Holy Spirit plays this great big part in us growing up in him. The Apostle Paul recognizes that he has to participate. We all have to participate in choosing the way Jesus has for us to walk in this world. You see, victory in Jesus, it's not a passive process. We participate in the process. God provides the way. God provides the strength. God provides his Spirit. but we provide the will and we provide the submission to his ways. I can't tell you how that last part plays such a huge, huge portion of us being able to press forward. We have to be submissive to his ways. I mean, God doesn't want anybody to perish, but yet there will be those that perish. Y'all see? God doesn't want anybody saddled with their past, but yet there will be some people who carry their past to the grave. I got to tell you something. I love Christian people. I love Christian people. I love to be around Christian people. Now, don't misunderstand this. Sometimes we can be just as negative as can be. But whenever I went home to visit my parents, I have to tell you, for 4 days, I was just bathed in negativity. It's an oppression. You have to understand. It's just one story after another story after another story after another. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? It was just negative, negative, negative. Things of the past, things that people had done wrong and done to them, and wow. I want it out. It's so nice to be with Christian people who have good stories of good things that happened. That's why so often I start off services like on Sunday night or Monday night. I said, man, tell me something good. Tell me something good that's happened in your life. Because I'm telling you, folks, even whenever you got to dig occasionally to find something good, there's still something good happening in our lives. If you are born again, blood bought by Jesus Christ. Hey, man, I'm telling you, if there's nothing that's happened to me good, I can still stand up and say, man, I am on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. Man, Jesus Christ loves me. I am a son of the Most High God. Are y'all there with me? Oh, I'm telling you. That's what our past does to us. Whenever we can't get over our past, it just causes us to live in a constant state of negativity. And I'm telling you that whenever we get to heaven, there's not going to be any negativity in heaven. God's not going to get us up there and go, man, you remember whenever you did this, you dummered? No, it's not. Man, heaven is going to be fantastic, and one of the things that's going to make it fantastic is there ain't going to be no past haunting us. Come on. So here's kind of that secret, if you would. It wasn't Paul's Damascus Road conversion. It was this. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Life is too precious to get stuck in the past. And you got to understand, Paul has some painful memories of the past. I mean, Paul, of all guys that's writing this thing, I'm telling you something. He had an idea of a painful past. Murders, punishing innocent people, inflicting pain on good people, tearing apart families, putting moms and dads in prison because they confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Folks, I got to tell you, the Apostle Paul had a long list of horrible, horrible things that he had done in the past. So how in the world did the Apostle Paul deal with all of this stuff from the past? He basically says this. He says, I forgot it all. Now, you all remember, he's preaching all over the place. So what if he walks into one of these preaching places and he looks and there on the front pew is the family of somebody that he had the father executed because he confessed Jesus Christ? Are y'all there? How in the world do you put that behind you whenever they're sitting just nose to nose with you? So Paul's not making the statement, he says, man, he's not saying, I forget about it completely. He's just saying, I don't give the past any regard. It's the past. I can't go back and change it. He said, I'm not going to let the past have any bearing on me, any influence on me. It's the past. So he says, forget the past. Forget it all. It would be nice, however, if we could do a little memory loss here and there. Amen? Every once in a while, that happens to me. My mother, whenever I left school, she began to substitute in the same school that I graduated from. She substituted for like 30 years, I think. And she was in a classroom with a young lady that happened to be one of my real good friends in high school. It was his daughter. This daughter comes in one day and says, Mrs. Watson, my dad told me last night that your son, JD, shot him with a shotgun whenever they were in high school. Said he shot him right in the nose. One BB still stuck in his nose. See, this guy got kicked in the head by a horse, and he went and had an MRI, and they found a BB stuck in his nose. 25 years ago, stuck in his nose there. My mom said, did you shoot Jerry with a shotgun? I said, no. I didn't shoot Jerry with a shotgun. What is that stupid story about? Hung up the phone, and a couple hours went by, and I said, you know something? I think maybe I did shoot Jerry with a shotgun. Now, you got to hear the whole story. We were quail hunting, and he was little, and I told him, I said, man, don't get away from us. You stay where we can see you. And we jumped a big cubby quail, and they kind of split up three or four directions. And so we all kind of went three or four directions. And this knuckleheaded kid got way out in front of us over a little rise. And me and my friend, okay, my good friend, that quail jumped up, and we're shooting quail. And all of a sudden, he comes up over the rise going, you shot me! Screaming bloody murder. Came up and he had this little volcano on his nose. It's bleeding out here. We told him, I said, Jerry, you're going to make up a story about that, and you're going to tell it like it's the gospel truth, because we'll never take you hunting with us again ever if you don't tell it. So we made up a story that he fell into a mesquite bush and the mesquite thorn stuck him in the nose. So now 20 some odd years later, he's trying to blame me for shooting him. And there was somebody else pulling the trigger on a shotgun too. It would be nice if we had total memory loss. Are y'all there with me? Unfortunately, we don't have memory loss very often. Sometimes we don't have memory loss whenever it counts. I did call my mom up and told her, see, I shot him and he deserved it. If I had it to do over, I'd shoot him again. He was never right after that horse kicked him in the head. So anyway, he was. I'm just joking. You see, and please don't misunderstand this. I'm not against counselors. I think sometimes maybe it might be helpful to go to a counselor and to maybe work out your past, maybe help you understand where you've come from. But it's kind of like this. If talk is all you do about your past, it's not going to get you where you need to go. You see, if all you do is just dwell on it, it's never going to improve. I believe one of the things the Apostle Paul says here, guys, is he says, you got to strain. You got to strain. And that tells me that there's some action involved in it. There's some effort involved in it. You must act. Unlike all the other apostles, Paul had to prove himself whenever he first got saved. I mean, all of these other disciples and apostles, they were scared of him, man. They said, this might be a trick to lure us into his wicked web, and he's going to get our heads cut off too. But the apostle Paul, even though he had all of this past, all of these things that he had done to other Christians, it still took a couple of years for him to come to a place to where all the rest of the apostles trusted him. Are y'all there? But nevertheless, you don't read one word about the Apostle Paul grumbling about that. Them stupid other apostles, I don't know why they didn't take me at face value. God save me. Are y'all there? You never heard him grumbling about it. But I'll tell you something that he did. He just kept moving forward. Too much to do. And so that's one of the reasons why we have to get over our past. Paul's still learning, as are we still learning. And this same lesson, I can tell you in my own life, I've had to continually practice it and practice it and practice it. Because here's, I confessed a while ago that I was a good heathen. I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. But sometimes I will tell you that I've been a pretty bad Christian. So even after I got born again, I was still doing boneheaded stuff. It's this crazy fallen nature that we have that makes us prone to doing sometimes the most ridiculous things that causes us to mess up in our growth process. I mean, can I just be real square with y'all? Because I've been a pastor now for like 32 years, and this is what I would tell you. It is amazing how dumb we can still be. I think everyone should have said amen to that. I really do. I mean, have you ever got there just go, good grief, how could you? And you know what's even worse than making mistakes prior to your conversion? It's making mistakes after you're converted. Because, you know, I can say something similar to this. This is obviously not exactly the truth. But before I was born again, I didn't know any better. But whenever I got born again, I knew better. Come on. After I got born again, I knew to do better. But yet I still made those same mistakes over and over and over. So this morning, I'm not just talking about the getting over our past from pre-conversion. I'm talking about getting over our past post-conversion. Man, there's been things I've done, things I've said that I had to go, oh, good grief. I can't even be in the ministry now. I got to quit. I mean, it was a bad thing before I first went in the ministry. I got in a fist fight with my father-in-law. I thought that was the last of, I'd never be in full-time ministry. How do you get over something like that? You see, it applies not only post-conversion, I mean pre-conversion, but it applies post-conversion. We're still walking through this every day. And the Apostle Paul, he says, man, forget about it and strain towards that goal. Strain towards that goal. See, the great thing about what we have today that is just so enormous and what is so good is this thing called grace. Unmerited favor that no matter what it is that we might be walking in, God can say to us, you are forgiven. See, sometimes I feel like that our past can actually become like a prison cell to us. It just holds us. Or perhaps not a prison cell, but you know, the old ball and chain, you know, back in the chain gangs in the 1920s and 30s and so on. They used to strap a heavy weighted ball to their ankle so as to prevent them from going anywhere quickly. And I will tell you, it prevented them from going anywhere quickly. You can't run with a 25-pound ball of metal tied to your leg. Whether it be tragedies, whether it be mistakes, we've got to pick up whatever good out of them that we can. Because folks, no matter what is in your past, I will promise you, there's probably something good in your past. From any situation, you can learn from it. I slammed my finger in a door one time. You know what that taught me? Not to do it again. Y'all there? I opened up a washing machine timer one time that says, do not open this thing. And I learned right there, you can't do that. There's contacts and springs in that thing. I was going to open it up and fix it. And I said, it says, do not open. But that doesn't apply to me. So I twisted all them little things, opened up. Thing blew up all over the house. I spent like 3 or 4 hours trying to put that thing back together. I finally said, we're just going to go buy a new one. And believe me, it wasn't easy admitting defeat, because I told my wife, I said, I fix it, no big deal, just bring it over here, I'll take it, blew up. You can learn from it. I've never opened another washing machine timer, ever. Never. So there's always something in our past that we can learn, but then once we've learned it, we have to go on. Move on. He says, forget and then strain. Forget it and then strain. That implies a process. How many of y'all are thrilled with processes? Not me. I like stuff to be instantaneous. The other day I was at McDonald's ordering breakfast, and I guarantee you it probably took them 6 minutes to get my breakfast. I was hot. For heaven's sake, they call themselves a fast food place. It should be fast food. I should drive up to the counter. They should not tell me to pull forward to that stripe up there. They say, will you mind pulling forward? And I go, yes. I want my food now. I fear if I pull forward, you'll forget me up there being forward. I'm staying right here. And then I looked in the rearview mirror and there were two church members behind me. So I pulled up. I don't like processes as much as I like stuff that's instantaneous. I imagine that probably half of you in this room are just like me. Anybody like to save and to wait on buying something you really like? You love to save. How many of y'all love layaway? No. How many of y'all like credit cards? You just get it right now. Yeah. Let me call the bank and see how much credit I have left on my card. Just enough. I can do it. Give that thing to me now. Some of you are looking at me like you've never done that, and every one of you, except for these innocent kids right here in the front, have done it. You see, to forget and to strain means a process. And that same process is going to be repeated over and over and over and over until one day we get it. Until one day it happens. We just keep forgetting and we keep straining and keep forgetting and keep straining. Because folks, I got to tell you something. There's something out there that is worth repeating this process over and over and over and over until we finally get it. And that's a prize. There's a prize out there. It is a wonderful thing to come up one day and realize that your past has no longer any bearing on your future. It is a good thing to stand on the other side and look back and go, man, all of those things, but yet not one of them is holding me back. Not one of them is keeping me in a prison cell. Not one of them is a ball and chain tied around my leg anymore. But I can go forward in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's a good thing. There's a prize out there. Forgetting and straining. And forgetting and straining. I'm going to ask Jared if he'll come and help me close this morning. And I got to just tell you that I really believe that there's something that Paul talks about in the next chapter of Philippians. So if you'll turn one page, or maybe even the same page, turn one chapter over to Philippians chapter 4. This is one of those things that is a mechanism that the Apostle Paul gives us. So while we're forgetting and we're straining, are y'all here? Forgetting and straining. It's this process that we're working out in our lives because we want to get past our past. The Apostle Paul gives us something that I believe is just wonderful. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, so many of you are familiar with this portion already, but listen to what Paul says. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You know what he's telling us there, right? He's telling us that during this process of forgetting and straining towards the prize, forgetting and straining towards the prize, he's given us a little mechanism right in the middle of this that we can use to really give us some great assistance. Think about this for a moment. Whatever bad, horrible memory that you've got from the past, and please don't misunderstand me this morning, I'm not making light of anybody's past. I got some horrible memories from the past. I've done some horrible things that are in the past. People have done horrible things to me in the past. There's some, I'm not making light of it. But I'm telling you that I can't take one of those memories and fit it into this context right here. I can't start thinking about one of those things in the past and call it true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? So the Apostle Paul is saying, guys, if you want to really get over your past, if you want to get your mind where it needs to be, quit thinking about the past and think about these things that are great. Let me just tell you, I've got this real great formula. Are you ready for this? Whenever my mind is not what I need it to be, I start thinking on things that are just fantastic. Like, I can remember one of the greatest days of my life was whenever my kids were born. I was in the delivery room with all four of them. And I'm telling you, man, it changed my life. I can remember how I thought to myself, God, you are amazing. Now, after they were born, not so much, but I'm just saying. And now, I've got grandkids. I'm not saying they're always pure and noble, but y'all understand what I'm saying. I start thinking about the good stuff. And I can tell you, if you think about enough good stuff, it'll crowd the bad stuff out of your life. You think about enough good stuff, and you just ain't going to have time to think about any bad stuff. Y'all there? And so this morning, remember the process. Remember to forget and then strain towards the goal. And in the midst of that process, think about the things that are good. If you're sitting there just going, I don't have nothing to think about that's good, call me. I got a lot of stuff that's good. For heaven's sake, I'll transfer you to Butch or to Mike or to... I'll transfer you to somebody that's got some good stuff. Are y'all there? Doesn't say you have to be thinking about your good stuff. It just says good stuff. Think how about somebody came up with this idea about penicillin a few years ago that's have saved tens of millions of lives over the years. Think about the guy who came up with Excedrin for your headache. Think about the guy who came up with tamales. Yes. Yes. And burritos. And steak. Oh, I'm having a moment. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. In the midst of that process, to forget and to strain. That's what we've got to emphasize.